The Sagrada Familia is a large church building located in the center of Barcelona, Spain. Construction began on the 19th of March, 1882, 135 years ago. After the original architect resigned from the project, a young architect named Antoni Gaudí took over, and his engineering style transformed this project by combining Gothic and New Art styles. But construction went slowly. In fact, people started talking about how long this was taking. And when someone asked Gaudí about this, he is said to have remarked, "My client," meaning God, "is not in a hurry." By the time of Gaudí's death in 1926, the basilica was between 15 and 20% complete. Yet work continued until the 1936 Spanish Civil War, and during that time, parts of the basilica and Gaudí's notes were destroyed. The project remained inactive until sometime in the 1950s, and construction reached the midpoint in 2010, with some of its greatest challenges remaining. Yet the work has progressed, and the current chief architect announced in October of 2015 that the project is now 70% complete. The goal is to complete construction of the church's structure by 2026, the 100th anniversary of Gaudí's death. This project currently receives no government funding, no church funding. It is solely funded by admission fees to visitors, which bring in around 25 million euros a year. Now, if it is finished in 2026, this project will have taken 144 years to build. Now, would we, in our culture, in North America, accept a building project that took this long? No. No. We would think this was a symbol of ultimate inefficiency and ineffectiveness. The church sanctuary that you now sit in took just over a year to build. If we started this project in March of 2006 and had to wait 144 years for its completion, we would get a little frustrated. Yet, in a way, we are still in the middle of a building project, just like the Sagrada Familia. We're no longer part of a physical building project, but we are part of God's spiritual building project called the church, and this local church that started nearly 41 years ago and will continue as long as God continues to serve as our chief architect and we follow him. And the question we face today is, what role is God calling each of us to play in the next phase of his building project here at SVBC? And to ponder this question, we're going to look at another building project found in the Bible. This one didn't take quite as long as the Sagrada Familia, but it did take several years, and it required significant adjustment by the people in the project to God's planning. And as we look at events surrounding this project, I'd like you to think about this question. What is God up to through this building project? And after we find out, we're going to further consider the question, what role is God calling us to play in the next phase of his building project called Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church? So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to 1 Chronicles 28, or you can follow along on page 316 in the Bibles in front of you. If you don't know where 1 Chronicles is, take a look at your table of contents in the Bible and find it. So 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 12 and then verses 19 to 21. So 1 Chronicles 28. David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the stewards of all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the seasoned warriors. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name. For you are a man of war and have shed blood. Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me, from all my father's house to be king over Israel forever. For he chose Judah, my tribe, as leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house. And among my father's sons, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, it is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in keeping my commandments and my rules as he is today. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave Solomon his son the plan of the vestibule of the temple and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms, and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat, and the plan for all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for dedicated gifts. And then down to verse 19. All this he made clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord, all the work to be done according to the plan. Then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God and with you in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be wholly at your command. So it is at the end of David's life, and he was a king who reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 years over the southern tribes, and 33 years over the United Kingdom of Israel. After his early conquests and establishment of his reign, he had a heart to build a temple for the Lord. David loved the Lord. He was called a man after God's own heart. And God sent a prophet to anoint him king, even though he was the youngest of 7 sons. And God blessed David's reign, even through David's missteps. But David kept this dream of building a house for the Lord in his heart and in his plans throughout his reign. He began to collect funds and materials for the temple and skillfully used his position as king to prepare for this great building project that would replace the tent where Israel had worshipped God for about 300 years. The temple would serve as the gathering place for the people of God and the dwelling place of God on earth when he would touch the earth with his presence. And it would also serve as a constant reminder that God and this people were much more permanently connected, for now they dwelt together in the land promised to them. It was the next step to further strengthen Israel as a nation. But at some point, God intervenes with David's plans. And God announces that David will not be the one to build this temple because he was a man of war. He himself had killed many other people, his most famous kill being Goliath the giant. And God determined that such a man of blood would not be the one to construct the temple. Instead, God ordained that David's son Solomon would become king and build the temple. Now, if you were David, how would you have taken that news? You've had it in your heart for decades to build a temple, a house for the Lord. You've saved and managed the nation's resources. It looks more and more possible like this dream can be made into reality, but then God intervenes and says, you're not the person to do this. David could have taken his toys and gone home, or directed his funds into some other building project. We don't know exactly what David thought of this. I'm not aware of any passages in the scriptures that tell us how did David respond to this news. But we do know that in the end, David decides to go with God's plan. He embraces the reality that he will not see his dream come to completion during his lifetime, but he will equip and empower his son and the next generation to carry on this work. So he first charges his son with responsibility to follow and obey God in verse 8. And then in verse 10, he charges Solomon to take on the work. Hear, be careful. The Lord has chosen you to build a house for sanctuary, so be strong and do it. But David does not only encourage Solomon with words, he provides materials and provisions and savings, all that David has done for the project. And David reveals something else. He passes on plans for this temple. Plans that somehow God has inspired him to write. Dimensions, building designs, different rooms. And in verse 19, David says of the Lord, "All this he made clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. All the work to be done according to the plan." David then encourages his son again and concludes with another gesture of empowerment. In addition to the nation's savings, in 1 Chronicles 29, we are told David donates his own savings to the temple project. And in 1 Chronicles 29, we are told David donates about 21,000 pounds of gold and about 50,000 pounds of silver to this project. Do you know how much 21,000 pounds of gold is worth today? Well, 21,000 pounds at 16 ounces is 336,000 ounces of gold. And on Friday, gold was trading at $1,199 an ounce, meaning that in today's dollars, David donated approximately $402,836,000 to this project. So by the end of David's speech, Solomon and the next generation have received the plans, the materials, and the funding to begin this massive building project. David then prays for the people, Solomon is anointed as king, and David dies soon after. Now the question I asked you to think about was this: what is God up to during this account? And I believe the answer is the Lord is transitioning his work from one generation to the next. And we see the Lord doing this throughout the Bible. He transitioned his work from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph. He transitioned his work from Moses the deliverer to Joshua the conqueror, from Jesus to the 12, and from the 12 with their lives and their writings to us today. And God continues to do this kind of transitioning work in localized settings like ours. 40 years ago, a group of people gathered together and began a work called Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church. We celebrated those 40 years last April. Many of you here were part of those early years. And you have seen this church through the building of Phase 1. And you saw many people who came to Christ here and were baptized here and have gone on to serve maybe in other places or have gone to be with the Lord. And then in March 2006, 11 years ago this month, the congregation at that time believed God called us to go ahead, and we heard in April voted to go ahead with the second phase of this facility. Some of you gave time to that building committee, part of the 4,000 hours that Don estimated. And you saw this structure go up through the spring and summer of 2006, and you helped make the adjustments because we couldn't have Vacation Bible School here that year because of the construction. We had to move Vacation Bible School out to the backyards of people in our church family. And we saw the construction continue through the fall, through the winter, into May of 2007 when we finally dedicated this sanctuary and we transitioned from worshiping in the gym into this room. Yet there was still the mortgage. And many of you faithfully participated in paying down that mortgage so that this past December it was paid in full. Many of the dreams that some of you had 40 years ago have been fulfilled and provided for by God. But God's building project of this church family in this community is not done. It will continue as long as God gives us grace to continue. So the question is, will you join with the Lord as he transitions this work from the original generation that founded and established this church to the next generation and the new believers that he has brought in? The Lord's transitioning work from one generation to the next requires our joining him in whatever role he gives us. And if you're part of that first generation or the older generation, you can rejoice in what God has done in and through you these past 40 years. Churches that survive for 40 years don't just happen. Some churches are like mushrooms. They spring up quickly and they're gone just as quickly. Some churches are like old barns. They once served a noble purpose, but they're dying, wearing out, need replacement or refreshment. We've been given a legacy that continues to survive and thrive with young families like we've seen today. And many of you have persevered through some very difficult times to stay together. And that perseverance by the power of the Lord is part of why we are here today. But you still have a role to play in the transitioning of this work to the next generation. And my question to you is, will you embrace this transition? Will you spend whatever years God has left for you in passing on and building up the next generation for the next phase of ministry of Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church? How can you do that? You can pray. You can mentor a young person. You can bring someone along with your current ministry and show them what it involves. And we will be aiming for some specific actions where you can invest and participate in raising up the next generation. And we'll be looking at that as leadership over the next weeks. But if you're part of the younger generation, or you are newer to this church family, will you embrace the calling of God on you to take up this work for the years ahead? Will you cherish and recognize the great gift you have been given in the past 40 years of ministry and the establishment of this church? The original generation has passed on a lot of resources, planning, and effort. They have established a witness in this community through 4 decades. They have contributed a facility that is now debt-free. And that means the opportunity for more ministry and missions work can now happen. But it needs the energy and commitment of the next generation to carry this out. And your leadership is meeting in the next few weeks to engage in some strategic planning. And one of the things that keeps coming up again and again is, how are we going to empower and equip the next generation to carry on the ministry of this church? Will you, older generation, and will you, younger and newer generation, accept this call? I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few years of my life. I'm coming up to 30 years of pastoral ministry in 2019, which means I probably finished a lot more ministry than I'll yet do. I'm just over 10 years or so from official retirement age. I don't have forever. So I'm asking myself, what can I do now to invest in the generation that will take over? A decision made today or in the next weeks can have an impact on someone's life for the next 10 or 20 years. If you decide to invest in the next generation or to receive from the experienced generation what they have learned in the building of this church family. And I need help. I need people who will come beside me so we can collectively work and engage the entire congregation in this transitioning work. And if you feel called to that, to help me in some way, will you let me know as we begin to see how God will unfold this? For God's work continues. And God transitions his work from one generation to the next. And he calls us to join him in whatever role he calls us to play. Let us pray. Lord God, we have been part of something special today in recognizing a great work that you have done through this people over 4 decades of life. And yet, the work is not finished. We will keep working until you return, Lord, as long as you give us grace to continue here. And so show each one of us the roles that we have to continue your work in and through this body. Thank you for your faithfulness that we have been able to celebrate today. And we continue to look to you now to lead us forward in your grace, strength, and wisdom. And we pray this in your glorious name. Amen.